All righty, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. We're going to get started here today. We're going to try to get you out. Tim, you don't need to be. I'm going to try to get you out of here by five after, because I realize one thing you never want to do is stand between Baptist and lunch. I realize that's like nada. So I'm going to avoid using a lot of humor today and try to get right into this. And I hope that this will be a blessing. I'll tell you what. I encourage you all to be here. We were so challenged. I was challenged last night by Dr. Willett's message. I was challenged this morning by Dr. Sith's message. Yeah. And I'm going to say this, ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest ways you could ever have joy in your Christian life is to lead someone else to Christ. Amen. And to see them walk with the Lord. It really is unlike just about anything else I've ever experienced in my life. Outside of our own children doing well and serving God, seeing a spiritual child do well is just an incredible blessing. We're going to talk about, hopefully, how to be a little bit more effective in doing that. And if we could do that, I think the Lord would be pleased. So let's pray before we start. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of being here today. I thank you for how my heart has been challenged already by the preaching, the message by Dr. Willett last night inspired me and helped me. I know Dr. Sisk again this morning with his great passion for the world was again another challenge. And Lord, I pray you help us not just to be challenged while we are here, but to be changed as well. And I pray that what we share here these next 30 or so minutes will be a blessing and a help. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I met Pastor Chappell probably 28 or 29 years ago, and I was serving in another college that I helped to start, and his brother went to school there, and his brother told him he needed to hire me. I was the only vice president of school 500. He didn't have a school. I wasn't tempted. I didn't want to move. My house was paid for. I lived in beautiful East Tennessee, and he asked me to pray about it. I said no. That's not the right answer, but I said no to him, and obviously he said he was praying. You weren't. You're here, but he asked me again the next year. I said, no. I said, I'm where God wants me to be. And then he came another year, and he said, I want to ask you a question. I said, I'm not going. And he said, I'm not going to ask you about coming to California. He said, I want to ask you one question. He said, how is your fruit? I'd been a minister at that time for 20 years. I said, well, I've taught students serving the Lord all over the world. He said, I'm not talking about your students. How is your soul-winning fruit? And I was somewhat honest, but not entirely. I said this. I said, not too good. And maybe you're like me, and I'd had a lot of people pray a prayer. A lot of people. I grew up in a soul winning church. If I were to name the three best soul winners I've ever met, my dad is one of them. At one point in time, he had 400 personal converts in his church. Just dwell on that for a little while. 400. By the way, you say, how do you do that? Where you sow an emphasis, you reap a harvest. My entire life, he went soul winning four nights a week. He knocked doors from 4 to 6. Came home for an hour for dinner. We had long devotions. And then at 7, he was back up doing follow-up. And where you sow an emphasis, you reap a harvest. But so I grew up in that environment. I went to a college that was known for soul winning. And I knew the Romans road. I knew the verses. And I got people to pray a prayer. But the problem is this. The Bible says, I have commanded you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Amen. And I knew that. And I knew that when I got to heaven someday, I wanted to see some people that I'd led to Christ. And to my shame, I'm being very transparent here, 20 years in ministry, 3 Bible college degrees, a leader at 2 Bible colleges, teaching Sunday school the whole time, I cannot take you back to either of those places and introduce you to one person that I led to Christ as faithfully attending church there. These things ought not so to be. And I was sitting this morning next to someone I led to Christ, who attended here for 17 years, who went away to another church and brought his pastor back for leadership. How great is that? Amen. But it took me till I was 40 when I moved to Lancaster. A pastor was able to help me. And I'm going to share with you some things I've learned here. Certainly, Pastor Chappell's the inspiration. Brother Jerry first will help me. If you really want to learn soul winning, I'd look up the Spiritual Leadership Conference and listen to Jerry Furso's material and soul winning. It'll help you. And he certainly has helped me, and I'm indebted to him. We must hasten to move quickly. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You want to be like Jesus? Jesus came to seek and to save, and he went about doing good. By the way, if we emulate those two things, we will have a wonderful life. To seek and to save, and to go about doing good. Romans chapter 12, verse 13 says, given to hospitality. By the way, verse says, distributing to the necessity of the saints. Are we looking to fill needs in other people's lives? And one more quick verse, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. A bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Now, I've combined this. Pastor gave me the topic that he wanted me to teach on soul winning and hospitality. I learned everything I know about hospitality since coming to Lancaster. I was taught in college to have a mystique. Pastor Chappell calls that the mystique mistake. Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. He said, the well need not a physician. And it's great to have fellowship. It's been so great to see so many friends here at this conference. But I'll ask you a tough question. Have you ever had an unsaved neighbor at your home for a meal? Just think about that. Take an unsaved co-worker out for a coffee, et cetera, et cetera. When I got here to Lancaster, I'll tell you one quick story. There's so many stories I could tell you. I got a call in Courtsill. I didn't know where Courtsill was. This is pre-iPhone. This is 22 years ago. So it's my first week here. I get one call. And the pastor says, go see this guy. I drive over. I can't find the address. I am not coming back here saying I can't find the address. I go to a fire station. You know, it's a new subdivision. I find the address. I get there. I meet Lou and Nita Leinberger. They're everything that we're not. Saturday night church, praise and worship music, NIV Bible. They're saved, though. Praise the Lord. I put on there saved, and I put dead in. Turn it in. I'd done my duty. By the way, I'd kind of done that my whole life up to that point in time. Very few people, we go to their homes, are going to say, what must I do to be saved? And Lou was saved, as was needed. I went back. Pastor calls me in his office, like 2 days later. He says, Doc, he says, where are you right now? I said, West Coast Baptist College. He goes, no, where are you right now? Lancaster Baptist Church. He goes, no, where are you geographically? California. He says, that's right, you're not in the Bible Belt anymore. He flipped that card. He says, go get this guy. And I'm literally thinking, he goes to church, he's saved. What do you want me to do? I think I said, what do you want me to do? He says, did you invite him to your home? Ladies and gentlemen, that wouldn't have crossed my mind in like 50 years. He was a neo. We're a fundamentalist. He said, go invite him to your home. So I went home and told my wife, he wants us to invite him to our home. My wife said, very sweetly and kindly, she says, we might as well try it. Our way hasn't worked too well. Amen. Next Thursday, back to Courtsill, I knock on the door. I remember they were playing dominoes. I don't want to play dominoes. They said they're playing dominoes. They were their later 50s, early 60s, about the age I am now. And I said, hey, he says, hey, good to see you again. I said, hey, I wanted to invite you to our class and church and then over to our home for dinner. He literally goes like this. He looks over his wife and says, okay. I'm going, that was tough. People do not care how much you know till they know how much you care. Right. And by the way, I just celebrated my 38th wedding anniversary. But if I was dating someone today, I'd write them. I'd call them. I'd text them. I'd visit them. They'd visit me and I'd give them gifts. Because I'd be trying to win somebody. And if you're going to try to win someone for your church, you better write them. Call them, text them, email, visit them, and take them gifts. Because then they might think that you really care about them. I know of a Southern Baptist church, I'll leave unnamed, that a new visitor gets 7 visits in the first 5 days after coming, including Sunday afternoon. They bring fresh baked loaves of bread that the widows make and deacons take to their home on Sunday afternoon. Maybe those visitors say, that church really cares about me. And yes, it is a mega church. Gabriel, who you heard this morning, great message. Tries to get 7 touches the first week someone visits his class. Sounds like he's serious about it. All right. So they came. They joined the church. Had to get rebaptized, which is always a joy to explain to people who are already saved. He gets rebaptized. And then one day I was talking in the auditorium Sunday school class. I said, if you guys would pray, the college was very young, very small. We didn't have a snack shop. Would you guys pray we could have a snack shop? Just a place to cook hamburgers, have milkshakes, fries, and I said, the big issue is a fire suppression system. It's going to cost $15,000 or $16,000. And Lou walked up and says, how much is it going to cost? Didn't say anything. And later that week, I got an envelope from Lou Leinberger. No letter, nothing inside, just a check for $16,000. I told Pastor, I said, got the money for the snack shop. He goes, where'd you get it from? I said, Lou Leinberger. He goes, yeah, not our kind of people, huh? Amen. Just saying, learned it here. Number one in your notes, reaching people is the main thing. Reaching people is the main thing. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what we need to be about. My brother's in here today, and he's 7 years younger than me. I just dedicated my most recent book to him because he challenges me in soul winning. He's a great soul winner. He hasn't missed a day this year in giving someone a gospel tract. When he told me that about May, I was preaching for him. I just said, everybody can do that. I mean, when was the last time you reached in your pocket, took out a track and said, I've got some good news for you. So I'm traveling with a summer singing group, and I'm trying to get everyone in the group to do it. I said, everybody can do that. We can all give out a track. You say, do a lot of people get saved from those? No, but some will. We travel a lot. We see a lot of homeless people begging for money. I'm not going to give them money. Are you kidding me? You're going to buy booze, cigarettes, or alcohol, or drugs. But I will give them a bottle of water, a granola bar, too healthy for us to eat, and a track. By the way, almost always I see them reading it when we drive away. We just keep the water there between the front seats. You know, cost you about 18 cents. People give us snacks all the time. We get fed three times. We don't need to eat snacks and three meals a day. As much as you do to the least of these, you've done unto me. It's the main thing. Realize that everyone will spend eternity somewhere forever. That was the thought that changed the life of Dr. Bob Jones Sr. He said, one day it hit me as I walked down a dusty road in Alabama that everyone will spend eternity somewhere forever. Everyone we come in contact with. Friends, do your neighbors know who your Jesus is? I got convicted 1 year ago, and I decided to knock on the door of every home in our subdivision. It's a half mile by half mile by half mile by half mile, and all the homes are on 1 acre lots. Couldn't do it one day. Said a lot of people get saved? No, but we do have a doctor's attending the church now that my wife met when she was out there with me. Our next door neighbor, who we have given many things to, I have two lesbians who live on one side of us. We have a Hispanic family who's an engineer at Edwards on the other side. We have probably taken them baked goods, credit totally to my wife, at least 15 times. We've had them to our home for a meal with all their kids and their in-laws who live with them. They promised to come so many times. Actually, I had a nickname for them. I called them serial liars. My wife said, let's ask him again. And it's totally due to Susan's credit. They worked out at Edwards with Brother Frank Matisse out there. And finally they came. And sitting in the Student Life Center, I went through the plan of salvation with the husband and wife. They both bowed their heads and prayed, accepted Christ as their Savior. But one thing I know, at least someday, the people in my subdivision can't look at me and say, you never even came to my house. At least we tried. Didn't talk to all of them. The leaf left the gospel at their door. Realize we'll spend eternity. Let it be. Realize it's God's word that changes lives. So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We tried every piece of literature we give out at this church to have the gospel on it. I really like that. It's the word of God. It won't return void. Excuse me. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper. It shall prosper. His name was Bud Calvert. Bud Calvert was a paratrooper on his way home. Stopped at a gas station to use the restroom. And somebody had taken a gospel tract in the men's washroom and just left it on the tank of the commode. He picked it up and took it with him. He read the tract. He trusted Christ as a Savior. He went off to Bob Jones University to prepare to be a preacher. He founded the Fairfax Baptist Temple, where he pastored for almost 40 years. By the way, that church started over 30 other churches, including Kenny Baldwin's church, including Pastor Wendell, who's here. It runs about 1,600. Oh, those 30 churches started 40 other churches. Somebody's going to have a whole lot of rejoicing in heaven. They don't even know about it. I have a friend named Greg, and Greg is probably one of the top 10 soul winners I ever met. He was a basketball player for the Citadel. He was totally lost as a goose, smoked marijuana, chemistry major, real smart guy. They were playing a Southern Baptist school called Furman University in Greenville, South Carolina. And a preacher boy, not from Furman, was standing in the corner just handing out tracts. So this basketball player by the name of Greg put it in his pocket, read it and read it and read it. And over 6 months he kept reading, and finally he trusted Christ, led his brother to Christ. He's been a principal of at least 3 Christian schools. He probably one of the top 10 soul winners I've ever met. That person who gave the tract doesn't even know what happened. But someday he will. Let's make sure we're giving out the Word of God. There's many ways to share the Word of God. And obviously, number one is our personal testimony. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He said, let me tell you what happened on the road to Damascus. There's been a change. People knew him. Josephus said he probably killed over 2,000 people. That's why Barnabas had to bring him into the fellowship. Right? Otherwise, they were scared of him, rightfully so. We understand that. But He told his testimony. Can you tell what Jesus did for you? I'm a fan of Vacation Bible School. I'm a fan of Neighborhood Bible Time because I got saved at Vacation Bible School. They taught about hell. For a six-year-old boy, I said, I didn't want to go there. You can tell people what God did for you. Share verses that can provoke people towards salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, John 3:16 still works.
Amen.
I was preaching in Sri Lanka a few years ago, which is poorer than India. And we got to this town way up in the tea country. And they said, we're building a Hindu temple up here. They said, would you come pray for our temple? I said, I would like to do that. And we went up to the hill, all the rebar was up, the concrete. I said, please do not translate this. And I waxed eloquent. I said, dear Lord, please help this temple never to get built. Please don't let this lead people down a path of destruction. And I prayed a lot. And these people were bowing to me. It was great, you know. And we finished. We went down to the bottom of that hill. And about 5 minutes before the service was supposed to start, and I was supposed to preach, it started pouring unbelievably. But because we'd been kind to them and prayed for their temple, they let us use their meeting hall. No electricity, no lights or anything like that. So what do you do? Can't read your notes there. I'm going to tell you what I preached, John 3:16. Wow. And God worked. We had several dozen people get saved. And probably one of the great joys of my life, there's a church in that town today. I used one verse. I quoted other, probably Revelation 3:20, 1 John 5:13, and others. But really, the message was John 3:16. I think most of us know that verse.
Yep.
Can I ask you a tough question? When was the last time you shared that verse? When was the last time you shared it? So, share verses. Number three, share tracts. Share tracts. It's such an easy tool. Who should get a tract if they're close enough to reach out to? By the way, don't say, this is from my church. You know what I say? Here's something that'll encourage you. Once they have it in their hand, I say, it'll tell you how you can go to heaven. Let me give you something that'll encourage you. I fly a lot. I fly 50 or 60,000 miles a year. I just preached. It was just with Brother Much doing his high school graduation in Hendersonville. I flew from there to go to Denver to preach a graduation, preach for Dean Miller 2 days later. I had some time in airports. I try to make sure I give 25 going out, 25 coming back. I put them in little bundles. People are sitting around doing nothing. You say, if they get mad at you, who cares? You're never going to see them again. Unless it's at the Great White Throne Judgment.
Yeah.
They're saying, why didn't you talk to me? And I know what I used to do. I used to get on a plane and say, this is so great. I talk all the time. I teach and preach all the time. I don't have to talk to anybody. And that may be the best chance that person ever has to get saved. You see, have you seen a lot of people get saved on planes? No, but a few have. I had the worst possible seat in a plane. For some reason, I was flying from somewhere to Minneapolis back to L.A. And we were rushing. I was with Tim Christensen at the time. And I got the worst seat on a plane, which is the row against the bathroom's middle seat. It doesn't recline, and all you hear is flushing the whole time. That's very nap-depriving, okay? And when I sat down, the gentleman next to me made me look like I was anorexic. That's not easy to do, okay? He was humongous. And I don't like touching people I don't know. I remember I was trying to read like this. I looked like T-Rex, you know? The girl next to me on my left of the window was goth. Black fingernails, black hair, white face. She pulls out her lap, but I do remember that when we took off, she was working her rosary like a wild woman. You know. And I'm not happy. I'm sweating. I'm stuck between these people. And finally, I said, I know I should witness these folks. I witnessed the man next to me. He didn't go to Baptist church, but he was a saved man. Praise God. The girl next to me had her laptop out. She's watching a video, and I know this. It dealt with zombies eating people's hearts. And I learned a phrase years ago from a man I probably should have used. I said, not good. That's probably not a great opening line. And then I said to her, I said, do you ever think about dying? She goes, why would you say that? She says, I hate flying. I said, I noticed we took off. You're really, you know, working the rosary. I said, don't worry. And I said, safer to fly than to drive, blah, blah, blah. I said, but we're all going to die someday. Do you ever think about that? She said, I think about that all the time. I got out of my seat, got in the over, took out my Bible, went through the Romans Road. She bowed her head and prayed, accepted Christ right out of the plane.
Amen.
By the way, I sent her a discipleship book. I hooked her up with Daily in the Word. Because we want to see people get saved, baptized, discipled, and serving.
Yeah. That's right.
Right? And, man, that was a joy. I think about her. Her name was Cheryl. I think about her when I get on planes. I wonder if there's another Cheryl. I sat by a man this morning. That was another man, been an usher at our church, and my daughter Lisa and I were out soul winning. It was open house. We used to have open house in May, and it could get a little warm here in Lancaster. You may not have noticed that, but it can get a little warm. And we'd knocked our map, and we were almost done. And we came to a little street. We were going to go out for a health food lunch at a place called Wendy's, and because we wanted to get a large Diet Coke and a Frosty to try to, you know, cool the core down. And we're heading back, and there was a little connecting street, like an H with a real, real small bar in between. And I said, "Is that on our map?" I knew it was. She said, "It's on our map, Dad." I said, "Well, you take that side, I'll take this side, and we'll head for Wendy's." I had a passion to get out of there, you know. And no one there, left the flyers, and Elise was in a garage talking to somebody. I went over there, and I recognized the two girls. They go to our church. They said, "Hi, doctor." I said, "You're not the college, are you?" They said, "No." But they were in the choir. We have a big choir here, and I found out they'd gotten saved, and they were praying for them. I said, "Would you talk to our dad?" I didn't know if he was saved, member of the church, and they brought him out to the garage, and I said, "Have you ever visited Lancaster Baptist Church?" And Bob said, "One time, yeah." I said, "How'd you like it?" I said, "I didn't like it." "Now you tell me, what do you say next?"
Yeah, right.
I said, "Well, you know, whether you like church or not, the important thing is knowing you're going to heaven."
Yeah.
To make a long story short, I went through the plan of salvation with Bob in his garage. He got saved.
Wow.
And I love this guy. 20 years in the Air Force, 20 years civilian service. He's retired now. Been a member of my Sunday school class for as many years.
Wow.
He's my son in the faith.
Yeah.
My son in the faith. He's special to me. Realize we have to be passionate about it. What are you excited about? Well, I'll tell you what. I saw a brief clip of Toronto Raptors fans outside in Toronto when they were last playing Golden State. There's thousands of them watching on big screens. They're passionate about it. And that's all fine to like a team, whatever your team is. But folks, who won the NBA title 7 years ago? Who cares? And whoever wins, whether Golden State has a miraculous comeback and wins, or if Toronto wins the first NBA title for a Canadian team, the angels in heaven are going to go, "Oh." And I'll be very transparent with you. I'm a sports fan. I haven't gotten to watch a lot of the games because I'm out with the tour group. We have services every night but Monday. But I have Thursday night off. Friday I leave here, drive 12 hours to Boise, Idaho. But I'll try to watch part of that game on my elliptical, try to redeem the time a little bit. But it's really not going to matter in the long run. So how passionate will we be about seeing people get saved? It must be scheduled. Ladies and gentlemen, that which gets scheduled gets done. That which gets scheduled gets done. Devotions, exercise, reading time, soul winning, follow-up. That which gets scheduled gets done. My times go soul winning Thursday night and Saturday morning. Now, we have extra times. And we're out with tour group members. We're going to find time. We're early. It's not 110 degrees. Hey, let's go knock doors for an hour or two. Let's try to have somebody in service. You say, do a lot of people come? No, but sometimes people come. Sometimes they come. Moving on. It's got to be scheduled. Secondly, it's got to be personal. In their home, in your home, at a restaurant, at a coffee shop. You go to them. I read a book just about a week ago. In fact, I've got a copy to give my brother. It's called After the Wind, and it dealt with the 1996 tragedy at Mount Everest. I've read four different books about that one event. One of the most provoking thoughts to me about soul winning is this story. Because what happened is two groups got caught on the mountain and both guides died. It, at that time, was the deadliest day on Mount Everest ever. Well, what happened was one guy, Anatoly Bukhariv, who summited without oxygen, which is extremely unusual, to the death zone. Anatoly Bukhariv gets back down. They said, there's people on the mountain and no one's moving. He goes to different tents of the Sherpas. They said, nope. We already made our one trip. That's what we got paid to do. And he started going back up and bringing people back in one at a time. Saved many lives. Only one person made it in on their own. Very few people just wander in here on their own. I have a couple of my class who saw the cross out there. They live off J. They saw that cross. They came to church. I followed them up. They joined the church. Great, dear people. Joseph and Peggy Ziegler. But they're the only ones I've ever met who just saw the cross and decided to come visit. Pretty much you have to go out and find them. And I love that book, After the Wind, because somebody went out, found them, and brought them back. They were out of oxygen. They were stuck in the mountain. They weren't moving. That's a perfect picture of the world around us. Got to be personal. I mentioned number three, giving gifts. It could be a Starbucks card, taking them out for coffee, et cetera, et cetera. People don't care how much we know till they know how much we care. write him a personal card. I use postcards. I write a lot of them every year. I'm almost done writing our entire student body this summer. I've written my entire Sunday school class. I have a weekly list, a bi-weekly list, a monthly list, besides writing thank you notes. Why? I want them to know I'm thinking about them. Right? So you have prospects. Why don't you write them once a week? Call them. Just drop by to see them. Bring them a gift card. Give them a gift. Multiple touches make a big impact. Multiple touches make a big impact. It's easy to make one touch, but keep going back. Let them know you care. Get others to pray with you about your prospects. I do this with our college students all the time. You say, I'm working with this family. Will you pray with me? By the way, I want to see that. Number one, I believe in the efficacy of prayer. But secondly, I want to say this. I want to see them be blessed by someone getting saved, coming to church, etc. And they know that their teachers are not just teaching it, but are trying to do it. Get others to pray with you, your family. I read this story. Halford Lukacs said one time I heard years ago that there was the Eugene Ormandy, a very famous conductor of the Philadelphia Symphony Orchestra. While conducting the orchestra, he dislocated his shoulder. This preacher said this, have I ever been so passionate about something that I dislocated anything, like even my tie? This guy was passionate about his music. My dad was passionate about people getting saved. It mattered to him. C.W. Fisk, maybe the greatest soul winner of our generation, served in one church in Indiana for 16 years. 13 years left, came back for 3 years. 16 years when he left there, get this now, there were 106 people in the church who were Sunday school teachers, ushers, or deacons he'd led to Christ. Oh, I forgot to tell you, he never went to Bible college.
Yeah.
He was hired as a custodian there.
Yep.
Later became a pastor. Everywhere he went, he built big classes. Moving on. Secondly, keeping people is a necessary thing. We know how to reach people. We know the plan of salvation. We know the Romans road. But how will we keep them? How do we keep them there? The Bible principles, fruit that remains. The Bible says your fruit should remain. Letter A, decide to develop friendships. I've got people that I write in other states that I led to Christ because you know what? They're my friends. They're my sons in the faith. His name is Dave Payne. Dave lived 27 and a half miles from the church. I got the call. I was not happy. For those of you who are not good at math, that's a 55-mile round trip. I said to Jerry, first of all, thanks. Maybe next time you can give me something in the state of California. What in the world? I took my son Mark when we began to drive out there. We were probably 15 miles. I said, good night. Why didn't I call him and see if he's home? I called, no answer. I literally started, same Yukon I'm driving now, started to turn around. I said to my son, you know what? We ought to at least leave a note at the door so he knows somebody cares. We drove out there. And I had a bad attitude. I said, it's probably on a dirt road with wild dogs and a double wide. It was at a double wide on a dirt road. No wild dogs, praise the Lord. I knocked on the door. I told my son, stay in the car. I knocked on the door. I'm riding on the track. Sorry, missed you. Hope to see you again. And the door opened. It scared me. I was sure no one was there. I said, hi, I'm Mark from Lancaster Baptist Church. And he said this. I'll never forget this. He said, I was hoping someone would come. I don't have time to tell the whole story, but he got saved that day. About 4 months later, I led his wife to the Lord. About 6 months later, I led his mother-in-law to the Lord. His daughter, who was a stewardess, came to visit at Christmas time. My daughter, who is a missionary in Thailand, led her to the Lord. About 2 years ago, he retired. He goes to Jack Scallion's old church, Tennessee Temple graduate in Tennessee. He mows all their grass for them. He's an usher. His wife works in the nursery. Oh, am I glad I drove that 55-mile round trip.
Yeah.
One of the best drives of my entire life. Ever. Ever. I write him every month. He's my son of the faith. Every month. Hey, Dr. Moving on here.
Dr. Art, there's a track out there called The Last Track. It's about a man that had the last track in his hand, and the man said, I'm not going to hand it out. We're going home. We're tired. The son begged him, and he did. Took it to the guy. Turned out the guy was trying to hang himself, and that's the track that saved him.
Praise God.
Saved him from hanging himself.
We've got a lot of stories at Lancaster. Brother first knocked at the guy's door, had a gun on the table. Got saved. He was going to kill himself that day. There's a lot. Go one more door. Keep on going. All right, moving on here. A couple different things. Develop friendship. This takes time. It takes energy. If you want to have friendship, it takes time and energy. We have time for the people we care about. My children want to talk to me. I've got time for that. My granddaughter turned 4 yesterday in Thailand. You know, I got time to talk to her. We're going to do something for her. You know, I love her. People know if you love them. Are you willing to do something for them? You're going to go out of your way for them, et cetera, et cetera. It takes time. It takes energy. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Think about Jesus' virtue went out of him. The more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Develop friendships. Let her be. Decide to pay the cost. Decide to pay the cost. Multiple contexts. I'm going to say it again, opening up your home. Opening up your home. Of the first 57 people we saw join the church here, 52 had been in our home for a meal. It works. I wish, I tell the college students, learn it now. Don't wait till you're 40 like me. It works. I've met people, and you say, does it always work out well? No, we've had a lot of people not show up. They promised to come. My wife's made a meal. I go get some college students. They're very happy, you know. They don't always show up. I remember one guy I invited in the old auditorium. He looked a little strange, a little different. I said, why don't you come to my house for a meal next week? He got shot and killed by the police that week, robbing a Walden Books on Avenue K. He said, you did that with some young girls in your house? You know what? God's going to protect us. I met a man over here on 50th Street, young, about 19, 20 years of age, and led him to Christ and got him involved in discipleship. He had a piercing in his tongue. It was like a barbell. And I was sitting down front. He'd sit there and click that barbell on his teeth during the sermon. How many think Pastor Chappell might notice that? He said, Dr. R., do something about his tongue. What do you want me to do? You know? You know what? He eventually took it out of his tongue. Man, I'm glad we went over there and saw that young man. Moving on here. Opening up your home. Help them take the next step. Talk about them. Think about them. Pray for them. Remember, they aren't now our brother or sister. Tyler Gillick covered that very, very well last night. That was two great messages last night. Right, two great messages. My brother Tim's here. He's one of I have five brothers and one sister. Several of them are really serving the Lord with their lives. My brother and I worked together 14 years, 7 years in Indiana, 7 years in Knoxville. He's my best friend. We're very close. We talk multiple times a week. If one of my brothers or sisters needs something, I'd want to help him. One of my brothers had to have neck surgery. They put his head in a halo. I went down to the valley to see him. They wouldn't let me in the hospital. They said, no visitors. He's my brother. I went around through the ER. I said, this is Dr. Rasmussen here from Lancaster. Supposed to see John Rasmussen. I got in there. He said, how'd you do that? It was all true, by the way. He said, how'd you get in here? I said, you're my brother. They get saved. They're our brother. We might have to stay up late and talk to them. We might have to help them with a child, help them through a hard time. They're our brother. They're our sister. Let her see. This is so important. Don't let Satan discourage you. Satan is a discourager of the brethren. The story is told that Satan had a lot of tools and decided to get rid of his tools, and there was lying and covetousness and lust. And but there's one old tool that he just wouldn't let go of. It was rusty and well used. And he said, how much for that tool? He said, I'm not selling that one. It's my best tool. I said, what is it? He said, discouragement. Yep. By the way, David encouraged himself with the Lord. All right. Did we hear about that today? That's why the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Let's keep on keeping on. Let's keep on going. In sales, they say, more contacts, more contracts. In soul winning, it's more prospects. Next closer you are to see the next person get saved. Don't grow weary. Keep on going. Some seed will grow. Some seed will be choked by weeds. Some weeds will wither because they're shallow ground. But some seed will sprout. Paul said, some will say yea. Some will say nay. And very importantly now, folks, some will say, I'll hear you again another time. I did a funeral this year for a man that I led to Christ. His name was Phil Sombrano. I love Phil. He was 80 years of age. Led him to the Lord 17 years ago, and he was 63. A beer-drinking Catholic softball player. Never been, you know, just amazing guy. Amazing guy. Worked in the aerospace industry. Had several rental homes. I led him to the Lord on the seventh visit to his house. Seventh visit. It's usually not the first time for me. But we kept going back. After he got saved, he got discipled. Then he asked me one day, he said, why don't you come to my house every week anymore? I said, well, Phil, you got saved. And I'm trying to find somebody else. But I'm so glad I went back to him. I love Phil. I was driving with somebody just the other day. I said, I miss Phil. He's a faithful man. Man, English was a second language. You could see him up there singing in cantatas. He didn't know all the words, but he was singing out. You know, I miss him. I miss him. It's worth it. Moving on here. So my time is up. Let me give you a quick illustration, and I'll stop. But again, everybody here, I'm going to ask you a tough question today. Here it is. Here's a question. Who's in your church because of you?
That's right.
It's real simple.
That's right.
Who's in your church because of you? Who have you, by the way, there's two branches of this. Who have you led to Christ who now attends your church? Or who did you invite to church who got saved and you'd shared the fruit with the pastor? I taught Sunday school Sunday. I've been out of town for about 4 weeks. And I walked down the aisle and I saw a man by the name of Thomas. African-American gentleman. I love Thomas. His wife was very faithful to our church. And she said, would you talk to my husband? And she said, he agreed to do a renewal of vows. I said, was he saved? She said, I don't know. I said, well, I can't renew your vows if you're saved, he's not saved. But I went to his house and Thomas got saved. And Thomas has been faithful. He's in my Sunday school class every week, sit next to his wife. His wife's been my wife's soul winning partner. He's special to me. But can I tell you, I've got a regret. Growing up in a preacher's home, graduating from Bible college at 20, being in ministry for 20 years, I can't go back to either of those ministries to find someone in that church that I led to Christ. Even though a lot of people prayed a prayer, I come home and say, I had three saved today. And by the way, I believe some of those people truly got saved. Right? God will separate the wheat from the chaff, I understand. But that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is God wants us to have fruit that remains. And I'm so grateful. I probably went out with Brother Firstall 50 times. And I watched him just, by the way, I taught him in college. He was not a great, great student. Public school guy who got saved later in life. But you know what he has? He has a passion to see people get saved. He's got a huge Sunday school class. And he just keeps reaching people. I saw him Sunday after we had prayer at 8 o'clock. I said, he said, pray for me. Got a family I led to the Lord this week. They're supposed to get baptized today. And they did. By the way, we hit every door in this valley four times a year, but people keep moving in. And people go through different seasons in life. And we want to be there when they're in their season, when they're going to be open to hear the gospel. Can I challenge you today? Let's do our best to reach and to keep people. We reach them by going soul winning. We keep them, I believe, in large part by our kindness and our hospitality to them. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you for these folks being here. I pray this time will be a time of refreshment and renewal. And I pray for myself, Lord, that I will be a more proactive soul winner for having heard the sermon last night, what Dr. Sis shared today. We know that we're like you, and we have a heart to see people get saved. I pray you'll help us not just to be hearers of your word, but to be doers as well. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great lunch hour.